Final hour of Beamich and Finley, a 106.7 The Fan. Toby Altizer in for J.P. Finley today alongside Brian Mitchell.
Direct it. Let's begin.
Let's get out to the guest hotline and bring in Jeffrey Chedia from NFL.com, a senior columnist for them. Jeffrey, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. How you guys doing?
We're good, man.
Can't complain. Doing can't well. Complain. You recently wrote an article talking about not to overreact to some things. One of the things you mentioned in there is Washington's offense coming down off the plateau a little bit. What do you make of the last couple of games for their offense?
Well, they've played a couple of pretty good teams, and Steelers and Eagles. Eagles are playing better defense. The Steelers have an elite defense. You know, quarterback, you know, you never know how much the rib injury he had a few weeks ago still affects him. They're not running the football as well. But, you know, they still have some easy opponents coming up here. I think these things happen when you have a young quarterback. Teams begin to adjust you a little bit, but I'm still very impressed by what they've done. They seem to have a lot of good vibes around them, and the quarterback is still a blossoming superstar. So it's I know it hasn't been easy, but that's the NFL.
Jeff, like, one thing for me, I look at this thing coming into this year, I was thinking, okay, we got a rebuild going on. And then midway through the season, you notice that they're playing a little better. But I still haven't lost sight of they have a rebuild going on. And I don't know what people thought that they were going to have a year where nobody ever struggles when you have 35 new players on the team. You know, so I'm kind of where you are with your article. Like, relax just a little bit.
Yeah, you're way ahead of schedule. Usually these things, look at the Indianapolis Colts right now, what they're going through with their quarterback situation or the Jets. You know, you talk about teams that invest in young quarterbacks. The Chicago Bears, you just saw them a little bit ago, and it doesn't go that well, and you're not winning games, and it gets frustrating. I think people forget that they still need a few more weapons on the outside for Jaden Daniels. Like you said, they've got a lot of veterans they brought in here. They're trying to get acclimated to the system. They still have a lot of money to spend. Like, whatever problems they have right now are fixable. Like, we're the Jacksonville Jaguars. You don't have fixable problems.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cowboys don't have fixable problems. So, I mean, you're in pretty good shape right now in Washington.
Everybody talks about this Cliff Kingsbury second half regression and what's happened in his time at Texas Tech. You go back to Arizona. Is that something that you're worried about with Washington here, or is it something that maybe you need to see a little bit more? You don't think that's going to happen here?
I think it will happen a little bit because you bring in a guy like Cliff Kingsbury because he runs the type of offense that young players can succeed in early. And so I think there's two schools of thought when it comes to developing quarterbacks in the NFL. You take a guy and you put him into a system and you try to get him up to speed, or you take a guy and you see what he does well and you try to find a way to build a system around his skill sets. And when you do the latter, which is what I think they did in Washington, it helps the kid play well early because he can get comfortable. But some of those things that they're doing are not super complex things.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as time goes by and people catch up to it, they figure it out and they study him more, they begin to take it away. But that's also why the next level stuff is so important. Look, the same thing happened with Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City when they brought him in. They changed the offense to a more college-style offense. They did it with Lamar Jackson. They've done it with Josh Allen. And those guys have done great things. But they've also had to adjust over time.
Right.
And I think that will happen with Jaden Daniels.
Do you think the quarterback can be the key to that as well, where he could take on more? Because when I hear Cliff talk, he talks about his offense, but he says now he has other people to bounce things off of and there are other influences on his offense. It's not necessarily what he used to run. Can that help him a little bit?
Yep. Oh, yeah, I agree with that. I agree. Coaches grow, too. I mean, I specifically brought up Andy Reid because if you watch his offense in Philadelphia and you watch what he runs in Washington, it's totally different. And even when he had Alex Smith as his quarterback, he was going and trying to get guys in who ran the pistol and looking at college and high school plays to try to find different things. I mean, you play, Brian, offensive football is way different now than it was 20, 30 years ago. And it used to be you had the college offenses, and you had the pro offense, and it was totally different.
Not the same.
Not the same. And all these concepts are being kind of muddled. So I think, if you're not open to different ideas, you know, Sean Payton is doing the same thing with Bo Nix in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be flexible.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying about that offense in Philly because I had to learn it. I was the emergency quarterback.
That's how different it was back then.
Exactly.
Three quarterbacks stressing on the day, game day.
Yes, oh, sir. Yeah.
And emergency guy. Yeah.
There you go.
Talking with Jeffrey Chedia, senior NFL columnist for NFL.com. The Commanders right now sit at 7-4. You've got three teams right behind them, the Niners, the Seahawks, the Rams, all at 5-5, also all in the same division vying for that final wild card spot in the NFC. What do you think that the Commanders need to get to? Is it just to simply get to 10 wins and they'll find themselves in the playoffs, or do you think they need to get to 11 wins?
Oh, I think 10 wins gets you in safely. I think there's going to be a 9-8 team. I don't think there'll be multiple 9-8 teams. And the thing about the NFC West is that those teams are going to cannibalize each other. And it's tough to be where the 49ers are right now because you're in the same boat as the Seahawks and the Rams. I think the Cardinals are going to win that division for one thing, but I think there's not enough room for a team that's going to be just above average to get in. But I have a lot of faith looking at the Commanders' schedule. Like I said, I think at least two or three more winnable games. They're still going to see Dallas at some point down the road here. And so, yeah, I think they'll get to 10 wins easily. I think the Commanders, the Vikings, and the Packers have the inside track on the wild cards. And if somebody can come out of the NFC West, that would be a surprise for me.
You said 10-7 could make it. 10-7 would be great because if they go 11, I got to wear a damn tutu, so I don't know about that.
Okay, you got some side bets going on that we don't need to find out about, huh?
Yeah,
okay.
You know, when they were saying six games, you know, you put some strain, you take any best of my thought. Yeah, I'll do that. And then you go, oh, Lord, okay. They're close.
Yeah. So this is a win-lose situation for you, right? It's like if they get to 10, it's crazy. You lose and they get to 11. Okay.
Well, and how real of a chance? Let's just assume that they're able to get to that 10, 11 win mark, hopefully 11 for B. Mitch's sake. But let's assume that they can get into the playoffs. How real of a threat do you think they can be? You know, I think they can beat some of these other teams, but you're looking at a Philly. I think they can be competitive with them, assuming they play better than they did on Thursday. But are they like a real team that can beat the Lions? How real would you view them as a contender if they get into the NFC playoffs?
Well, I think anybody but the Lions they can compete with because you're talking about a lot of teams that have up and down quarterback play, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, the Eagles, you know, Jalen Hurts can have some tough days there, turn the ball over. You know, Sam Darnold has done that in Minnesota. Jordan Love has had, I think, more interceptions than anybody right now, I think, in Green Bay. And really, like the NFC West, I mean, quietly, Kyler Murray's been playing some of the best football in the NFC that no one's talking about. He only has three interceptions, and he's been managing the game well. But there's nobody. I think if Jaden Daniels is on his game, and really the running the football is the key thing for me.
Yes.
I mean, that's the difference in their offense that I see is that they're not running the football as effectively as they were earlier in the year. And so they get back to doing that. It's going to take some pressure off him. It's going to open up some things and make things easier for the defense. So that's the bigger thing, getting back to that level of play on with the run game.
When you look at offenses that when they run it, they predominantly have one running back. And when they pass it, they have another. Wouldn't it help if you throw the ball and run it with the same guy because then they can't read it then?
Yeah, you're getting real old school with it, man. It's like, yeah,
I mean, I noticed
it
like,
make a lot more sense.
Yeah, because I think Brian Robinson can run, but the dude has shown he has good hands too.
He does.
I would throw him some pass. I would fake it, let him run through the line, hook up, hit it, because when he turns around, not many DBs want to hit him one-on-one.
Yeah, and I agree with that totally. And that's a big reason why I've been so impressed with what Philadelphia has done with Saquon Barkley, with the dimension he's brought to that offense. You look at what Josh Jacobs has meant to the Green Bay Packers offense. So there are some teams, like even Bijan Robinson with Atlanta, there are teams that are doing that. And I agree with you. I'd rather have a two-way threat and make it more difficult on the defense to not get a beat on what you're doing. So, but again, these are first world problems you're dealing with in Washington now, as opposed to, hey, well, we're picking that in the top 10 next year.
Exactly right. Yeah, Talking with Jeffrey Chedia, senior columnist for NFL.com. Let's take a look around the NFL. We'll start with the news today. What do you make of the Jets firing their general manager, Joe Douglas?
I'm surprised it took that long for it to happen. You know, I think once they got rid of Robert Saleh, you had to figure everybody was on notice. And when you try to go for a home run in Aaron Rodgers and you're sitting there under 500 and, you know, the coach didn't work out, it's only a matter of time before the GM goes. And look, you know, there's a lot to be said for good ownership and what that means. And you guys are seeing that in Washington right now as well. Like, you know, Woody Johnson it's gone through a lot of coaches, a lot of GMs, a lot of quarterbacks, and at some point you got to figure out how to get the right team in there and how to make it work. That is going to have to – it's not going to be a rebuild because they've got a lot of young talent there still, but I imagine they're not trying to have anybody around who wants to bring Aaron Rodgers back next season. So that makes a lot of sense to me.
Well, is Woody going anywhere? Because he seemed to be the one to give Aaron all the authority.
Yeah, he's going back to England. I think he's going to go back and be the ambassador. That's where he was when they brought in Aaron Rodgers. He was out of the country.
See, I can't
well,
see.
We hired Robert Saleh.
Yeah, I can't see Joe Douglas doing anything without the approval of Woody. And then Aaron Rodgers Aaron is acting like he is the damn GM.
Yeah, and we saw how that worked out before in Green Bay. Like, they'd be crazy. And, I don't know where Woody Johnson's head is at on this stuff, but I think they should have seen enough by now to know what they've been trying to do with Aaron Rodgers is not going to work out. And if you start going too far down this rabbit hole of trying to, pull a rabbit out of a hat with an aging quarterback who's not playing well and needs all these things that make it work, then you're compromising your future. They've got a great chance now. I don't know, how great this quarterback class is compared to what just came out. But, I guarantee you they would kill to have Sam Darnold on that team right now.
Yeah.
Or Geno Smith.
Yeah. Crazy to think.
For him.
Yeah.
Crazy to think.
Yeah.
Caleb Williams, I thought, looked really good on Sunday. Obviously, they didn't come out with the victory. But is this going to be the same case the Bears always seem to do where they draft the quarterback and they end up firing the head coach in after his rookie season? He's got a new guy. I mean, they already fired their offensive coordinator, Shane Waldron. What's going to go down there in Chicago, and how can they fix it so that Caleb Williams doesn't turn out like the other guys?
Well, you just talked about Joe Douglas. If I'm Ryan Poles, their general manager, I'm paying close attention to that and thinking, okay, who is the best offensive mind I can get to come in here and work with this kid and build him up and make him whole? And this is a perfect example. The Commanders were very smart, even though they hired a defensive-minded coach. They went and got Kingsbury, an offensive mind, to work with Jaden Daniels and create an offense that he could succeed in. The Bears acted like Caleb Williams created football and just said, here's the playbook.
Yeah.
Go out there and play. It's going to be great. We've got all these weapons for you. And they found out how hard that is and how much pressure there is to make that happen. And so, no, I think, I think they've got one chance to make sure they don't screw this up. So they've got to hire, again, the best offensive. If I'm the Bears ownership, I am calling Ben Johnson every day, the Detroit Lions offensive coordinator, and telling him, whatever it costs, you're going to be our head coach next year, and we're going to figure out the quarterback situation.
Having Brian Johnson on this roster, just in case something were to happen with Kingsbury, you think that was done intentionally?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I mean, again, I think, and this is something Jalen Hurts told me, and he worked with Jalen in Philadelphia, mm-hmm. that Brian Johnson was a big factor in Jalen Hurts' growth. And Jalen Hurts has a skill set that's very similar to Jaden Daniels. Having coaches who understand that skill set, I think, is super vital to any young quarterback succeeding. And I think with Caleb, what we're realizing is he wasn't as athletic as we thought.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not translating the same way that it has for Jaden Daniels, and that the things that were bad habits for him need to be coached out of him.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing. I think you have to, Josh Allen to me and Lamar Jackson are two of the prime examples of how, if I'm a young head coach or GM, like, how did those teams take those players who were raw when they came in and turn them into superstar talents? They got people around who knew how to coach them, who appreciated their skill sets, and made them comfortable. And I think that's what Caleb Williams needs to have.
Talking with Jeffrey Chedia from NFL.com, a senior columnist for them. The Bengals lost once again, and Joe Burrow has been spectacular this season, putting up really, really good numbers, but the record isn't good. What do they do going forward? Do they stick with Zach Taylor? Obviously, they're going to have some decisions to make at the wide receiver position with T. Higgins. What are they going to do going forward?
Yeah, it's a baffling situation with them because they were, for the most part, known as a team that was pretty clutch for the last few years. Going into Kansas City and winning the AFC Championship, and they start 0-2 and rattle off 12-14 wins the next season. And so, the way you can make a case that they're literally four plays away from being 8-3. Two of those plays involving game-winning field goals that either didn't work out with the snap or just went awry like last week. And so I don't think that Zach Taylor is going to get fired because they don't really fire coaches hastily in Cincinnati. They've had guys who've lost like 14, 15 games stick around for like 5 years. So I don't think he's going anywhere anytime soon. But I do think they've got to look at how can they transition their defense and how important it is for them to really invest in key players. Their defense went south when they decided that they didn't want to pay Jesse Bates, their free safety. He went to Atlanta. He was a key part of their back end with Von Bell. Now they're in a situation now where Trey Hendrickson wants money. Like, they're squabbling about that. You know, he's leading the league in sacks. I think he's earned a raise. And, you know, T. Higgins, I understand that because you're going to have to pay Jamar Chase a boatload of money. But, again, going back to looking at I think with the Ravens, the Bills, the Chiefs, like, they found a way to really transition once the quarterback's getting paid a lot of money to find young players to come in, to plug in, and they're going to have to do that, you know, to help the D.C. out, Lou Anarumo, because there's still talent there.
I mean, yeah.
If the Bengals were winning, Joe Burrow would be the MVP. Like, his numbers are crazy.
Yeah.
But they got to find a way to make that roster work with the financial constraints that they're dealing with now.
Yeah, those constraints have been there for years, though, with them. And talk about ownership, and it's in the league now where
self-imposed.
Oh, yes. Yes, totally.
Last one for you here. We talked about the Lions being kind of the top dog in the NFC. Who would you say is the top dog in the AFC right now?
You know, it's the Chiefs are still the scariest team because they've won two championships in a row. But Buffalo, to me, is the best team in the AFC right now just because of the way they won that game. And when you're talking about Josh Allen going against that team without Dalton Kincaid, without Keon Coleman, and they're putting 30 up on them, and they're out rushing them. Their time possession is almost 10 minutes longer. They're 100 more yards of offense. One turnover. They win the turnover battle. I think all that stuff tells me that that team has made a big step forward. And in a lot of ways, they're a lot like people talk about the Peyton Manning Tom Brady comparison. Part of that comparison people don't remember is that Peyton Manning couldn't beat the Patriots for a long time. It took them about 7-8 years to get to a Super Bowl. And so I feel like the way that they won that game, not playing it safe, not trying to kick a field goal and play defense against Mahomes, is here's our best player, here's the football, let's go take it from him. I think that told me a lot about who they are right now and what they could be moving forward.
All right, Jeff.
Jeffrey, always good to talk to you, man. Appreciate you dropping by.
Same here, guys. Take care.
Right, take care, brother.
They heard from Jeffrey Chedia. Make sure you check him out, NFL senior columnist for NFL.com.
Doing the playoffs.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Yo, Pat
right.
Pat saying, I'm going
exactly
to see you
right.
again.
Exactly right.
And
I mean,
I'm going to beat y'all.
I have a tough time seeing anybody beating Kansas City because they always win. They always find a way when it gets to the nitty-gritty in the playoffs.
Yes.
Take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about the NFL MVP race, maybe a little NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year as well. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley on The Fan. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Toby Altizer in for JP today alongside Brian Mitchell. Appreciate Jeffrey Chedia for joining us from NFL.com. I want to take a look at the current odds for NFL MVP. We'll also take a look at Rookie of the Year because that's been a topic that people have been discussing online recently, is that maybe Bo Nix is improving his chances, but we'll
Hell
talk about that.
No.
We'll talk about that in just a second.
How many weeks he won?
I don't know. Has he? How many weeks has he won Rookie of the Week?
Maybe one.
Not many.
Maybe one.
Yeah, it's not
so,
many.
No, stop fooling yourself, people.
Well, maybe that ends that discussion there. NFL MVP, though, right now Josh Allen leading that. Lamar Jackson just slightly behind him. Then Jared Goff and Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes rounding out the top five. Who would be your MVP right now?
Right now?
Yeah.
I'll go with Josh.
Yeah, I think it's got to be Josh. I think.
See, I know people say if Cincinnati, well, they're not.
Yeah.
You can't be MVP if you're not winning games.
Yeah. I mean, Joe Burrow's been playing so well, but they're not winning.
What happened with Joe a lot, too? They're losing, so he's throwing a lot.
True.
So that a lot. And then what when they're down by two scores, three scores, what do people play on defense? Prevent.
Yeah.
So he's going to get those chunk yardage.
And Josh Allen's playing some of the best football of his career this year.
Well, he's playing the best football of his
year. I think. I'm curious your thoughts on this. We've seen this with a couple of different quarterbacks, and I think you saw it with Josh Allen for a couple weeks this year. When you have a quarterback who has a clear number one, who's one of the best in the league, and then you take that away, sometimes that quarterback has to play the quarterback position a little bit more and improves. I think you saw this from my time up in Wisconsin. They talked about this happening with Brett Favre when Sterling Sharp retired. They saw him improve and be better, not just always throwing it to Sharp. I think you saw this a little bit with Matthew Stafford when Calvin Johnson retired.
Yeah.
You know, I think you learn how to play the quarterback position a little bit more. Josh Allen, he loses Stephon Diggs. Now, luckily for Buffalo, they go get Amari Cooper a couple weeks later. But I think those first couple weeks, you saw him play quarterback a little more than he had been.
When you have a guy who's your go-to, and that's the main guy, and he's a guy that demands the ball, the quarterback drops back and look for him. When you don't have that guy, you drop back and you run the offense. And if you run the offense the way it's supposed to be ran, then you're more difficult to stop for a defense. So he's become that. And then now, once you begin to have a defense try to stop the offense, which leaves a lot of holes, now his athleticism is even more important.
Well, I think that's something that you've seen with Jaden this year. They don't force feed the ball to Terry.
No, they don't.
They don't. It just kind of goes to whoever is open.
But whenever you go to him, he make big plays.
And that's a credit to credit to what Jaden's been able to do. But I think with Josh Allen, with him being able to do that on top of his superhuman ability, just rocket arm, he's been really good too, limiting those turnovers, which has been something that's been a bugaboo for him.
That's what I've been most impressed by.
Because for him, I mean, for the longest time, that was the issue. Like, the running's always been there. His arm's always been there. It's just he made boneheaded decisions.
He was a Tom at one point.
Yeah.
Turnover machine. Yeah.
Yeah. Far too often. And I think Lamar's having a great season once again. But they've kind of come back down to earth a little bit, that Ravens team. Even though that offense still seems like it's spectacular. You go out, see what they did against Pittsburgh. Yeah. Pittsburgh was able to hold them in check.
Well, you know, you got two magicians on that Steelers defense.
Yeah.
You know, and when you can, the thing I've said to people, the way you beat the Ravens, if you have to stop Henry, you got to get him before he gets started. Because if you allow him to get started, then all of a sudden now you got to have everybody to try and stop him, and you leave those edges for Lamar. And you got to bring people up. Now they get one-on-one. And when Lamar can run, what does the defensive back do? He looks at Lamar and boom, say, now it gets 5 yards on you. You know, so that team is scary. But if you can stop Derrick Henry, you stop that offense.
Yeah, Lamar has been intriguing because last year he was so good. And early season he was kind of off to another MVP-type start. It slowed down a little bit. But I also think, like, you saw him – he struggled against Pittsburgh. That's something that our guy Jeffrey Jadia, that had joined us in the last segment, had wrote about when he was talking about don't overreact to some of these things. Lamar Jackson is 1-4 against the Steelers over his last five times playing them, and he just didn't do a whole lot. He didn't look like the Lamar Jackson that you'd seen all throughout the season. He wasn't completing passes. He wasn't running all over the place. Ryan Clark was kind of talking about this last night before the game.
The Steelers hindered Lamar Jackson.
They hindered Lamar Jackson.
The two-time MVP?
Yeah.
And people are trying to blast Jaden Daniels because they hindered him?
Well, exactly. I mean, look, 16 points for Baltimore, 27 for Washington.
I'm just saying.
And they should have won that game against Pittsburgh Well, and I think, too, I mean, look at what they have to deal with when they play Lamar. They know how to defend a quarterback like that. So they're clearly going to have a better game plan against a Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
I think for Jaden, if you change three or four passes that were drops into catches, they win that ball game.
Yeah.
And he was, 17-34 that day? You say 17-34 for 202, say he makes four more completions.
Yeah, it was five balls that were dropped that should have been caught.
Well,
I'm talking about not balls that were in the area, balls that hit both
exactly.
hands.
Exactly. So 21, let's just say 21-34 for 250. That's not a bad day.
No.
He didn't play that. Like, you go back and watch the Pittsburgh game, he was inaccurate more so than he has been all year. He wasn't bad against Pittsburgh.
No, he wasn't. I think the problem is people today don't look at the game of football. They look at the stats.
Exactly right.
All people do is open to see what the stats are, and anyone they want to try to really impress you by saying advanced stats. I'm like, you have to watch the damn game to know what's happening. You know, there are a lot of quarterbacks that go 18 of 28, and guess what? There were four balls dropped. And when you look at that, you go, well, damn, the guy played good. So numbers don't tell the whole story in sports.
Well, I mean, you just look at the game on Sunday night. Both those quarterbacks I thought played well, more so one each half. Like, you look at Herbert in that first half, I think that was one of the best halves I've seen a quarterback play all year. Second half, not so much. But you just look at both of their numbers because Burrow was good in the second half. And they're not, you know, in terms of completion percentage, they're not completing 75% of their passes.
No.
It's just, to me, what happened with this B. Mitch, and this is where I feel, sound like an old man despite being 26, I think.
Nah, you just telling us that the old people mindset is better. I understand.
Well, in a lot of ways it is. I'll give you that. I think fantasy football and red zone have done that a little bit to people, where fantasy football, if your quarterback doesn't throw for 300 yards, he didn't have a good day. That's not the case.
Yeah. First of all, sports, no matter what sport it is, has always been about one thing, winning.
Yeah.
We have now made the sport, if you don't basically have a perfect game, you're not good. And you know fans will go around saying that crap, oh, man, he don't pass for 300 yards. They're 9-0. They're 7-2.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares about what you think about some numbers? And the ultimate thing is we, in this sport and in the industry we do, we got to be careful with that because we make people think that that's all that matters. Hell, I care about you winning the game. If you go out there right now, don't have a yard passing, and you win every damn game, I would not give a damn. I'll be happy as hell.
Yeah, I mean, it's to me with this stuff where you look at only the stats, you're right, you got to watch the games. It changes so much of what you're looking at, and you look at what has happened. This is why I have an issue with some of the stuff that I'm glad they're changing some of the product to make it really entertaining for people, and I'm glad they like it. But you hear people complain, oh, this NFL's not good. No, you're used to watching just people in the red zone.
Yeah.
You're not used to watching the actual game of football between the 20s. Yeah. You complain because, this isn't good. No, defense is still good. I don't know where we got to this point where
the offense has to be good.
Exactly.
For football to be good.
Exactly right.
Trash.
I mean, people, you know, you go back 10 years, think back to that time frame and watching SEC football, and you're watching Alabama and Georgia. Every single game finished at like 17-14.
Hey,
and it's glorious. It's fun to watch.
Everybody looks for the big play. Like red zone shows you scoring plays and big plays. You know what I like to watch when I'm watching football games?
Football.
I like to watch the line of scrimmage because that will tell you, watch the line of scrimmage from the side view and tell me about, if you watch that and don't look at anything else, I guarantee you know who won that football game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But most people cannot look at that and decipher anything from it because most people don't know a damn thing about football. All they know about is scoring.
Yeah.
And they know about stats, but they can't tell you nothing about the game of football.
Well, and if you want to know why Washington lost their last two games, look at the line of scrimmage.
Hell yeah. They lost.
Getting dominated up front.
One thing, every week they ask me, what's my keys to winning? I can give you two of them every week. Turnover battle, win the line of scrimmage. And then I can throw something else in on top of that. Because that matters in every game.
Well, and it's funny because they'll say, well, it's a cliche, it's an old
cliche
adage.
Nothing.
The reason it's a cliche is because it's true.
Listen to me, man.
Mattered since they started football to now. It matters.
If your team is on offense and their team's on defense, whatever side of the ball is going backwards, that side is losing.
Yeah.
And you flip it over, your team is now on defense, theirs on offense. If your defensive line is getting knocked back, they are losing. So for everybody, you want to learn a little bit more about football, look at the line of scrimmage. Stop just looking for the big plays. Like, I hear people, listen, I hear it all the time, and I don't care who gets mad. Everybody in the media always tell me how much they watch film. You know what I tell most of them? You watch TV. You don't watch film. Because if you're really watching film, if you're finishing up that whole game in like an hour or something, you're not watching film.
Yeah, it takes time.
It takes longer to watch film than it does to play the game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I could give you one series, and I promise you, you get to watch film the right way, that one series might take you an hour and something to watch it.
Yeah, it takes some time. Taking a look at the Offensive Rookie of the Year odds, Jaden's still a heavy favorite. He's quite ahead of Bo Nix. Then you got Drake May, and then you got Brock Bowers. Just comparing the stats, though, this is why it's become a discussion recently. Bo Nix has just under 2,300 passing yards, just under 300 rushing yards, 19 total touchdowns. Jaden with 2,300 passing yards, just under 500 rushing yards and 14 total touchdowns. So, you know, better rushing numbers, better passing numbers, five fewer touchdowns. But to your point, B. Mitch, one, Jaden missed a full game essentially against Carolina. Mm-hmm. So those numbers, you can add a couple hundred to, you know, the passing numbers and rushing numbers. But he's also won Rookie of the Week darn near every time he stepped on the football field.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and to
people
me,
forget that.
Exactly. I mean, it's just like he's played so well. And to me, you know, Bo Nix has been doing much better recently. But if you're going to consider a second legitimate contender in this, it almost has to be Brock Bowers, the way that he's playing in Vegas. And I know they're not playing winning football, but you look at him so far this year as a rookie tight end, 70 receptions, 706 receiving yards, only 3 touchdowns. He's on pace for 1,200 yards receiving as a rookie tight end.
Hey, if a rookie tight end get 1,200 yards, he's in the picture.
Absolutely. And to me, like, Bo Nix is playing well.
The problem, everyone feels that when a quarterback's involved, they have to win. Every quarterback shouldn't win every damn award.
Agreed.
You need to make a quarterback award and make the other people award. Because there are some guys who are just as important to the team as the damn quarterback is.
Well, and I think, you know, when you're talking about this offensive rookie of the year, I mean, it's pretty clear to me that Jaden is the most valuable rookie quarterback, the way that he's playing when you just evaluate what he's being asked to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I lay this out for people all the time. When you think about Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, they would, figure everything out pre-snap, and when they ran the football, they needed to make sure they're running into the right look, then they would hand it off, the play's over for them.
Yeah.
That's not the case for Jaden.
Oh, no.
A simple handoff is a read of the defensive end, reading if he's going to throw the slant in behind it. There's not a single play for Jaden that he takes off.
No.
And that's what's so impressive. Like, I went back and watched the Cincinnati game. The second half there, and I'm not talking just passing decision, I'm talking every decision, you might have changed one. And that's how good he's been playing. Now, you know, recently he struggled a little bit, but the amount of stuff that is on Jaden's plate, I don't think people understand.
Yeah.
It's crazy how much they're asking him to do, and he's doing it well.
And he's passing it with flying colors.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely spectacular. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll get you heard it here first. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley on The Fan.
B. Mitch here. Big changes are happening in the DMV, and just like our upgraded football team, now's the time to upgrade the comfort in your home with a Rood HVAC system. I did, and the difference is night and day. My family and I felt the change instantly. And if you don't have a Rood system yet, trust me, you're missing out. Plus, there are tax-eligible options for you in the DMV. And if you're in Maryland, you might score some utility rebates. So head over to Rood.com, find a local pro partner, and get ready for winning. And always remember, if it ain't Rood, it ain't right.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Toby Altizer in for JP alongside Brian Mitchell. Landfill, I got a question for you. I don't know that I'll be here on Thursday. Can I get an early bleep you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Can I get a bleep you to everybody in the chat for calling me everything under the sun today?
Yes.
I'm looking through all these comments. I've gotten some good ones. I'll give you that, but come on now. I fill in one time and all this craziness happens?
Yeah. Hey, like I say every day, it ain't rude, it ain't right. They're trying to make it right, Toby. And also,
ruthless.
I can tell you, we're supposed to be reading this all day. The B. Mitchell Finley Show is brought to you by Rood HVAC Equipment. Head over to Rood.com to find a contractor near you and available tax credits and rebates. That's R-U-U-D. And remember, if it ain't rude, it ain't right, Toby.
Well, they did a heck of a job in the chat today being rude. They did a heck of a job. Let's make some picks.
Heard it here first. I'll holler around.
Jeff, what we got?
Right, is 2-0.
Shut up.
Jeff is 0-1.
Well, that's not surprising.
I'm not in complete fourth by myself because JP is not here, so we're both sitting at 0-1. And Landfill is winning at 1-0. I don't know what B got.
Okay.
He know what he is, 2-0.
It's like, nah, B got 2. You got a bet for tonight, B?
JP bet was in, so he gets to get his bet.
Yeah, what'd he have? What did JP have?
Well, he bet yesterday.
He had an OV goal. But y'all say
he scored 2.
But y'all say when we not here, we don't get the win.
Now, that's when you here and you did not say you wasn't going to be here. The man planned to go take his wife somewhere. How we going to penalize him for that?
We penalized him for every other planned vacation he had.
That's a planned being
that's incredibly
taking
valid
care of his wife.
He's on, this is like his 63rd day off of the year. L.
Y'all asses, man.
What do we got for picks?
You go ahead, Toby, since you knew.
I'm gonna take the Cavs tonight to go to 16-0 over the Boston Celtics.
Hell no. I'm going with the Celtics against Toby. No, I'm joking.
It's kind of crazy that the Cavs are 15-0 and they're underdogs.
Right. 15-0. I don't get how they're 15-0, by the way. I don't Like, they got good players, but are they that good? I don't know. But hey, I'm going to take them tonight against Boston.
You got to play together, man. Toby, I'm telling you, just got to play together.
I mean, I wish I knew what it was like. I watched the Wizards. I don't know what that's like.
So, if I take Boston just the money line, can I do that? Toby, this damn B-Mitch gets on my nerves.
No, you can't.
I can't? Why?
This is 220.
It's 220.
Okay. Give me -5.5.
All right.
Now I'm joking. I don't want to do that against Toby. Toby, my guy.
I'm taking Central Michigan +6.5 against Western Michigan.
Give me the Jazz.
Maxion.
Give me the Jazz Maxion. +10.5.
Some Maxion tonight?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, give me the Celtics -5.5.
Are you a big Maxion guy, Lamphill?
I like Maxion.
I don't know what I think of college football being on like every single day of the week.
That's, I have no problem with it.
That's the way it should be.
It's a little much at times. When you look at people's schedule. By the way, we didn't bring this up. How crazy is it that the schedule makers gave Dallas back-to-back short weeks? They got a short week Monday
into
a Sunday.
Well, it's about damn time it happens to them. It never happened to them any other time.
I know. Well, and then I want to read you this tweet, Mitch. I thought this was hilarious because I never thought I would read a sentence like this, and I probably never will read the sentence like this again. This is Jay Morrison, covers the Bengals for The Athletic, SI. This is exactly what he tweeted. For those asking, the Bengals-Cowboys Monday Night Football game is not eligible to be flexed out of because all the drawings, voiceovers, and other work that has been done for the Simpsons altcast that will air that night. How many people are watching a Simpsons altcast?
Nobody cares.
Of Bengals and Cowboys?
Nobody cares.
Jeff, that's something up your alley? Watch a little Simpsons altcast?
Not at all.
Is that Jeff like Homer?
All right. If Homer was strong, you would look like him. I think every bald guy looks like Homer.
No, they don't.
I've never even watched The Simpsons, to be honest, so I couldn't even.
And I'm taking the Pelicans also +12.5.
I've never watched The Simpsons.
You never watched?
Dude, he wasn't old enough. They wouldn't let him.
The Simpsons still got reruns till this day.
You know, people
you
his
never
age,
sat and
people
watched
his the, age don't go no. back and write, watch nothing before them.
No.
Wow. I think the world just started yesterday.
Wow. So you never even seen the Simpsons
movie?
Did
you hear my +12.5?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
And my +10.5. Utah Jazz.
All right, I got you.
B's got a parlay. I got the Cavs.
B has a parlay every day.
Yeah, I love
using
it.
Money.
Don't watch the Simpsons one day, bro.
What did you take, Jeff?
Yo, I took the Celtics -5.5.
Cavs are going to 16-0, baby.
He went against you, man.
Cavs are going to 16-0.
If I owe you, I will fight him.
Appreciate you guys letting me fill in for JP. He'll be back tomorrow. Thanks to Barstool Nate joining Thanks to Barstool Nate joining us a little bit earlier. Brian Colbert Jr. as well as Jeffrey Chitty. If you missed any of it, you can always go back and listen to the podcast or use the rewind feature on your Odyssey app. JP back in tomorrow at 10 o'clock. B. Mitch and Finley out. Grant and Danny next.